my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Our Happy Hearthstone patrons make this show happen week in and week out. So thank you so much. This week goes out to Anna O, John M, Roger A, Alex B, Corey S, Samurai Flea, Jason A, Nate Dog, Apex Predator, Alex B, John M, Dale R, James W, Trey H, Force B, and Chris B. Join this awesome team. Get some great perks for yourself over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Hello and welcome to episode 128 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. I hope that you guys are having a great week. I know kind of threw it out on Twitter, like each day, I hope you're having a great day. It's not just like between episodes, I hope it was all good. But I hope that every day you got a little bit of happiness in you. I'm feeling even more than happy today. Honestly, I would say that there's just joy infused to every ounce of what you're about to hear, because I'm joined by a new friend of mine whose name is Lisa, and she has a blog called A Table Full of Joy. And Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
My pleasure. I know that, we talked beforehand you're new to the podcasting world, but you've had some audio, instruction and stuff in your life. So I feel like this is like an amalgamation of everything that your life has been preparing you for is this moment right here.
It's pretty exciting.
I might be overselling it just slightly, but I'm really excited to have you on the show today, Lisa. Tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got into gaming. Why don't we just start there? Because I know you got a lot of Hearthstone, you've got a lot of other awesome interests that sort of blend together. But talk to us just about gaming. Where did that first enter into your life?
Oh well, when I was probably, I don't know, in the third or fourth grade. Mm-hmm. So actually, my mom was a secretary at a school, at the school I went to, and it was a really small school. So we would get there really early before any of the other kids got there. And I found out that Warcraft was programmed on the cook's computer because her son downloaded it on there. And
no
so
way.
He showed me. Yeah. And honestly, it wasn't until I met my husband and started talking to him about, the games I've played, that I realized it was Warcraft. So I just knew it was this really fun, strategy game that mm-hmm. I felt like I was sneaking into the kitchen to play early in the morning. So that's kind of where the gaming started. And then during middle school and high school, I'd say I didn't play a ton, but I did play like the Phantom Menace adventure game or the Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone adventure game. And then, but in grad school, so I went to New Mexico Tech, and mm-hmm. it's known for its great engineering. I was there for geology, but it's also full of people who love to game. And sure. So I met my husband there, and he pretty much, showed me so many fun games. He got me playing StarCraft, which was pretty fun because he's really good at it, and he would just try to defeat me with really weird methods and stuff, and I would just try to survive.
He wouldn't take it easy on you at all, huh?
Oh no, but it made it fun for him because he's like, well, I know I could win in a heartbeat, but I'll try something, odd. But and Portal, I played Portal in grad school. He insisted I sit down and play through at least the first one, and then Heroes and Might of Magic, number 3. I don't know if you've played that. It's an excellent game. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's a turn-based game, and recently, let's see, about 3 years ago, I started playing Hearthstone once again because my husband, then my boyfriend was like, oh, okay, you should check this out and we can play together. So I did. And ever since then, I've been slightly addicted and just having fun. But yeah, so that
sounds like it sounds like he's definitely been your tour guide through the history.
Absolutely. So I'm slightly biased towards what games I do like and, you know, play because of
totally
him.
Totally fair. But now I do have to take one step back. Have you guys played Portal 2 together?
We have not. So
because I've never mentioned this on the show, but I really believe, have you played through that game? You can play single player. I think it has two different campaigns for single or co-op.
Okay. He made me sit down and play the single player.
The first one.
Portal 1. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, Portal 2, they added a co-op campaign, and okay. I legitimately believe it's one of the best marriage tools that there is, because it takes a lot of coordination, it takes a lot of, like, working through things together, but especially if you have, like, a cooperative spirit, and obviously, you know, if you're in a marriage, hopefully you're pursuing that. I think especially for gamers, it's a great tool to kind of use to do that, so I'm not your marriage counselor or anything, but I do want to highly recommend that game, especially since you both are gamers. I think you'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I'll have to tell him about that.
And there's a Steam summer sale going on right now. Just saying.
Oh, good to know. I will say, cooperative board games are one of my absolute favorite types of games to play. So that might work out well.
You got to give me one or two that you enjoy.
Well, right now, one that is my absolute favorite, it's Cthulhu. It's like Pandemic. Nice. It's by the same makers of Pandemic, so it's that same type of gameplay.
Pandemic's great, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all themed of, you know, it's like mysterious, and there's like cultists and stuff like that, which is kind of creepy, but but anyways, it's just a lot of fun, and we first played it at a we went to just a board game shop, and a lot of people just bring their own board games to those types of places. And so we went and we sat down and just started playing with some random people that we didn't know, and we played that game. We lost, but it was so much fun. And then I was like, you should get that for me for my birthday. And so he did, and we played like 5 or 6 times before we could even beat the game, and which just made it even more fun, because we'd be like one turn away from winning. And so
especially when it's a game like that has a lot of replayability and stuff.
Yes,
I mean, that just makes it so much fun.
Yeah, so we're big into computer games, video games, and also board games.
Nice. So now let's dive into the Hearthstone side of things. So you started playing, you said a few years ago. So was it near the beginning of when Hearthstone was released?
When exactly was Hearthstone released? How long have you been on the air?
we've been this podcast has exist since the day after it was announced. So it's been around for a while. I'm looking it up right now because I don't know the exact release date. March 11th, 2014 was when it was first released.
Okay.
There was an alpha before that and stuff, but...
Yeah, I do. So I have been playing for at least maybe three and a half years. So yeah, pretty close to probably the beginning. And I remember my brother-in-law, I'm pretty sure he had said, like, he wanted his girlfriend at the time to play because it was girlfriend friendly or whatever that means. But
let's say new gamer friendly. Maybe that's
there. You go. Yeah. So anyways, besides that, you know, I was like, oh, well, what does that even mean? And sounded like a cool game. And although I never played World of Warcraft, at least not a lot. I haven't yet. My husband and I are like, we should start playing that. He's played it a lot, but but anyways, I'm somewhat familiar with the World of Warcraft and the lore and stuff like that. I'm starting to read some of the books, and but it just looked like such an interesting game, Hearthstone, just because it was a card game, and like the art is just so awesome. So
Yeah, it's true. Had you played any competitive card games before, or was this really just the first kind of, you know, CCG that you got into?
This was the first. Wow. I know since then I've looked into playing Magic the Gathering, you know, I've gotten some free card packs for that. Okay. And it's fun, but I mean, Hearthstone's pretty much, I enjoy it so much, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah, it's tough once you get so into one to really branch out. And I know there are some people who probably do play most of the big names out there concurrently, but I'm kind of with you that it's like, if I'm really into this game, I want to go all in and know it well.
Yeah. Rather than kind of, and I don't have time to try to figure out another game.
I'm right there with you. Well, what's your play style with Hearthstone? What do you enjoy, like class wise, or maybe, you know, favorite card or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm not very good at Hearthstone, or I mean, I enjoy it. I have
That's
fun.
That's totally relative.
I get my quests done, which I really love the quests, you know, for this,
especially
this new
right
event
now.
That they've.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but So I like that. I love the tavern brawls and just getting to play all the different types of gameplay. Mm-hmm. And of course I try to play competitively or, you know, to ladder, whatever. But sure. I think the highest I've gotten in rank was only like 15. And then as soon as the new month started over, it's like, you know, bumped me back to whatever, 19 or 20, and then right. since then, mm-hmm. I can't even get out. I don't even know if I can get to rank 20. It's just been so ridiculous, but I don't invest a lot of time in trying to learn the meta or anything to that effect. Sure. I leave that to my husband. So
do you take your decks then from your husband's advice, or do you kind of come up with your own creations, or a balance of the two?
If I'm trying to be a little bit more competitive, I'll definitely ask my husband and get his advice and see what's working for him, what's not working, what's really frustrating, you know, this time around or something. And but other than that, you know, if I need to just make a deck full of spells to complete a quest, I'll do that.
You gotta do that.
You know, and ironically, sometimes those have been some of the best decks that I've made.
That's probably working the way they want it to.
Right? It's not ones that I sit down and really try to think about. It's like, oh, I need a bunch of taunt minions. Okay. Oh, look, I won 5 times in a row.
But
my favorite, I would say right now, my favorite gameplay is the Taunt Warrior. I know it's kind of it's not really with the new expansion, but it's just I have the Taunt quest or you know the Warrior quest and and it's just so much fun. Like if I can get it out and if it works perfectly, it's just it feels so good to you know to win that way.
it's definitely not a joke of a deck. I mean, it may not be like the highest level meta deck, but it's up there. Yeah. You know, and especially depending on what you're seeing and stuff. I mean, 8 damage for 2 mana is pretty good, and it definitely feels good no matter what.
Yeah, yeah, and I've noticed that I'm more of an aggro player. You know, I like just to.
Okay.
I don't like games to last a really long time, so if I can just deal a lot of damage, it just makes me feel good, which sounds really horrible, but yeah. So I have a lot of fun with that.
No, that's awesome, and there's no shame in being an aggro player either. I especially don't like the 20-minute games that I didn't sign up for by going into it with a heavy control deck or something like that. So. Well, that's great. Well, and Lisa, another big part about your life, and especially why you're on the show today, is because you've got this whole food blog that I mentioned at the top, but it's got this really heavy Hearthstone-inspired section. So can you briefly tell us about that?
Yeah. So, I have a full Hearthstone menu. Right now, it's not focused on any one expansion. Maybe the next expansion that comes out, I might do just a menu solely focused on that. But right now, it's just kind of from whatever. I looked through like all the cards and just try to come up with some fun recipes, which is easy to do in Hearthstone. And like, for example, when the Witchwood expansion came out, I'm like, okay, that's kind of where it all started. I knew I wanted to, you know, celebrate that. So I made witchwood apple pies, which was super, like, they tasted really good. And I put it out on, like, a few of the Hearthstone groups I was in. Uh-huh. And the feedback was awesome. Like, some guy, he commented. And that's kind of, like, the best thing is when people comment and, sure, you know, interact. And he's like, oh, my gosh, these look so good. I think he cussed a couple times in his excitement. and he's like, I'm going to make these right away. And then he did. He actually made the recipe.
No joke.
He took a picture. Yeah. And I'm like, this is awesome. So
that feels real good.
Yeah, it felt amazing. So, and at that point, the blog itself was kind of like, I wanted it to be focused on, you know, recipes inspired from my favorite games, books, and movies, but I hadn't really focused on that yet. I've kind of just been getting started because the blog started in February, and I just kind of was trying to get content out there to see, you know, what people would react with or interact with the best and where I wanted the blog to go. But because my husband and I are so into games that we kind of knew that's where we wanted the direction of the blog to go.
That's great.
And yeah, so we decided, so I got that out. I had already put out, like, I think my portal chocolate cake, which is really good. I do try, sorry, I'll say that pretty much about, well, I should say that about every recipe.
I was going to say, you better. These aren't skimping recipes or anything.
No. So, and yeah, I do try to put a lot of effort into making the recipes turn out really good and the quality of the recipe to be, you know, awesome and everything to taste good and for it to be easily made, because I know my target audience is mostly gamers, at least right now. You know, they might not be as comfortable in the kitchen as they are playing Hearthstone. So I try to break it down, and if anybody ever has any questions, you just send me an email or a comment on one of the posts and, you know, I'll get back to you right away. But anyway, so we thought, like, you know, I started with the witchwood apple pies, got really good feedback. And then I went to a food blogging conference in May, and they said, you know, in order to be successful as a blogger, which is what I want to do, I want this to become, you know, something that I can really invest in and, you know, maybe become a full-time sort of gig. Sure. And they said, you know, you need to have a niche. If that's, you know, if you have that, then you're going to grow so much more and you'll really have an audience you can engage with. And so that's when, you know, we really decided, my husband and I were like, okay, let's just really buckle down and just do inspired by, you know, this game or that book sort of thing. And I decided to start with Hearthstone because I love it and I play it all the time. And there are so many opportunities to actually, like, make recipes out of, like, the cards. So, for example, the card Evolving Spores. So any sort of mushroom recipe would be great with that. So I made stuffed Evolving Spores, which were a big hit with my husband and, you know, our friends and stuff. So, and then obviously the apple pies, which were the witchwood apple pies. I've done, you know, I did do like something like Innkeeper's Bread, which is a really easy bread recipe, kind of perfect for Hearthstone. And I just try to have everything themed, off of the cards. Plus, I have to say, Blizzard makes it so nice for content creators to use their stuff. So their graphics, their music. I mean, it's amazing just how much they encourage the community to really interact with their games.
I think there are other companies who do this, but I think that they do an exceptional job of recognizing just the value of tertiary, you know, entities who are creating stuff to support their content, because, you know, even if they don't get something, you know, monetarily from it, you know, people are excited about this game. So something that's, you know, off the beaten path, like recipes inspired by the game, I mean, they're gonna the people who love it are gonna continue to consume and enjoy. Well, literally with your stuff, they're gonna consume it. but it really does help them to continue to drive, you know, to drive engagement and stuff like that. So I think it's really cool how they do that.
Yeah, I know with trying to figure out, you know, future menus. I know I'll stick with Hearthstone. I'll do a Warcraft, World of Warcraft menu. Maybe one for the Horde, one for the Alliance at some point.
Get testy once you start going down those roads.
Right? but anyways, with other menus, I still want to branch out and maybe do, like, you know, a Harry Potter themed menu or you know, Lord of the Rings or something like that. Sure. And because I want to be the place where you know, gamers and book lovers and stuff come for their ideas for recipes. Anyways, but just trying to figure out the copyright issues or, you know, what I'm allowed to share of, like, you know, stuff from Disney or stuff from Universal Studios, you know, Harry Potter, Star Wars, or, you know, anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's like you just come, like, some people get sued, some people, you know, are, like, sharing it without any repercussions. And I'm like, okay, well, at least Blizzard makes it so easy. And they're just happy to have us interacting with them. So
yeah, totally. I'm really thankful for that. Well, and you mentioned earlier that you were posting, you know, those recipes in different groups and stuff. I actually ran across one of your posts in the Inn Facebook group. Shout out to Robert and the crew over there. And I saw it and kind of had the same reaction that you were saying to other people. I was like, man, this is so cool. Why is nobody doing this? Well, except for this one person. It's awesome. So, you know, I reached out and we started talking and stuff. I said, we got to get you on the show because this is such a unique thing that I think pretty much any listener is going to love, especially with the angle that you take to make these recipes accessible. I mean, it really engaged. And I, for my, especially in marriage, when you kind of have to start getting serious about cooking if you're not, because it's a huge budget saver. My wife and I have found a ton of joy around finding new recipes, trying out different stuff. We really love the process, especially when we get to do it together. So when I came across these, it was like, okay, here's a bunch of new recipes, period. But I've got the extra excitement about making acidic swamp ooze limeades or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I just think it's a really fun angle. And it's something that especially anybody listening, you know, if you've wanted to kind of take some steps into recipes, you got to find stuff that you're excited about doing. And even just the fun, I don't know what the right word is, but there's just an a lightheartedness around, man, these are, you know, devil sore egg breakfast tacos. Those things, that's one of the first ones I'm going to try, by the way, because those look real good.
Oh, they're good.
But yeah, so I'm really excited to have you on here. For our main topic, we're actually going to talk about a bit bigger or broader brush about blending passions, because that was the biggest thing I was impressed by. Like, this is so, I think it could seem like an odd take. Like, why do we need recipes on Hearthstone? Mm-hmm. But if my excitement about it immediately when I saw the things told you anything, it's that I think that there's something to pursuing your passion and creating something that doesn't exist that can be really intimidating and weird. But when you sort of find this sweet spot where you're really excited about something and it creates something new, it's something that the community needs and that you love doing. So so we're going to talk about that for the bulk of this show. And I'm just I'm really thrilled to have you on, Lisa. But we've talked so long about your background, we have not talked about the point of this show. Well, it's not the point, but it's where we basically establish things. Tell me why you're happy today. Where do we begin with that?
Well, I am just happy to be on the show and to just share my passion for cooking and playing Hearthstone with everybody, and hopefully to just share recipes that maybe people aren't necessarily familiar with, or if they are intimidated by cooking or whatever, like, you know, things like that, that I can help them out. So that's what makes me happy. That's awesome. And that's why I'm happy today.
Well, the fact that we get to talk about it, I'm sure, is even more so, because, you know, you focus that passion on your blog, it's one thing, but getting to talk about it is like, oh yeah, I'm all in on that.
Yeah. Let me just geek out over here, right?
Geeking out is pretty fun, and I'm sure that's why we tune into podcasts, too, is because we want to geek out about the things we don't know we want to geek out about yet.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, yes, so tell me, why are you happy?
I'm happy because as you're listening to this, I'm in Washington State right now. And I mentioned it last week, but I am taking a week off to go up there with my wife and my daughter. We're actually, we're recording this in a bit early, so I hate to spoil the time vortex. I guess that's Toki's fault or something, but yeah, as you're listening to this, I'm in Washington and we're visiting family up there. We're spending some time in cabins, probably drinking a lot of really good coffee because I am an aficionado and I know that Washington has got a roastery or two that I've got my eyes set on. So lots of that. I also had somebody tell me that literally they were a donut connoisseur and they said the best donut shop is in Washington.
Wow.
Like that they've ever been to. So I can't remember what it was called. I hope I will spend some time looking into it because I can't miss out on the best donut in the world. But it should really be a good time. I haven't taken like an entire week off from work in a while. So that will just be good for my soul to stop and breathe and hang out. You can definitely pray for me as far as having a two-year-old on a two-day car ride out and back. That will be interesting and hopefully a good foundation for family trips in the future, but no guarantees on that. So it should be good.
Can I ask why Washington? Do you have family there?
Yeah, so we do have family both on my wife and I's side, so we'll visit some of them. My wife's side of the family out there hasn't met our daughter yet, so that was really big for her that, hey, let's go out and be with them. So my wife also gets the travel bug, and we're on like a very, a time in our lives where it's really, bootstrap budget-wise. We're really trying to hustle to kind of get ourselves ahead for the future. So doing something that was like, okay, we've got family we can stay with, we drive out there and that helps. So it seemed like something reasonable, but would still be really, really exciting for her travel-wise to do and stuff like that. I can't remember the last time I actually went out to Washington. We would go there to visit my grandparents as a kid, and we'll go see them this time. So I've been there before, but it's been a while. So at some point in your internal clock, visiting a place that you've been at sort of feels newish. And so I think for both of us, we feel that. And so, yeah, should be a great time. We're looking forward to it.
That's neat. Yeah, I grew up in California, Northern California. And so we would take vacations up to Oregon and Washington all the time. So I'm familiar with the area. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think, Colorado gets a rep for being like the mountainous region, which is accurate. And I think parts of Utah, even New Mexico and Wyoming too, just that whole Rocky Mountain region there. But everybody that I've known from Washington feels very much like a Coloradan. So it's sort of like, and there are quite a bit of forests and mountains and stuff up there too. So it's a pretty cool part of the country. I mean, there's a little more rain than we have out here, but that's okay. It happens. So.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to that. Well, let's take a really quick sponsor break. Just want to thank every single one of you so much who are giving over at the Happy Hearthstones Patreon. I've been doing the groundwork to make sure our Discord is going to go live once I get back from vacation. So appreciate your patience with that. And thank you to the patrons themselves. They kind of helped me test out some of the stuff there. But it's going to be a great place to connect with one another. We've got some good channels. And I've really wanted to make it a unique place because there are lots of great Discord communities, but I want to make sure that this isn't just another one that is for a podcast or a community or something, but that there are really some unique takes. So I'm excited to share those things with you. I'll be sure to get you the links and stuff in the next show when we're ready to launch. But again, that's only possible because people are giving and we're hitting goals and stuff. So thank you so much for allowing me to give more back to you by jumping in and doing that. You can go over to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and check out the great benefits that you can get. Everyone will get a Discord role in there because, I mean, come on, it's low-hanging fruit, but it's fun to be able to wear that sort of as a badge of honor in our community that, you've helped us get to where we're at. And you can get exclusive content, all sorts of great stuff, and it'll be a great time. So go check it out again, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. All right, so Lisa, we haven't talked yet about the whole cooking side, because the Hearthstone side is really, you know, what we're mostly about and stuff. But I have to kick off as we're talking about blending your passions, figuring out, because everyone listening to this podcast right now has some degree of interest in Hearthstone. I think it's safe to say. But the whole other side of things, okay, what else am I passionate about? Where did your background for cooking come from? I know everyone's got a bit of a story and has had some degree of practice in that, even if it's just the Kraft mac and cheese or, you know, whatnot.
Right.
But yes. I have a feeling there's more to it than that for you. Where did you really start to love the process, and where does it come from?
I would say in high school. I've always loved cooking, but mm-hmm. I really wanted to learn more about it in high school. And we had some home ec type classes available, but they were specifically just for cooking. And so I didn't learn how to sew or anything like that.
Okay.
But it was, so I learned a lot in that, in those classes. Like, I think we even, once a month, we would have a fake restaurant where the teachers would have to actually purchase, like, tickets to come, and we would serve, like, a 5-course meal, which, I mean,
holy
it was like,
cow.
Yeah, during lunch break. So it was like, oh my gosh, we were running around
crazy.
But, and that was a lot of fun. And it wasn't just like only a few of us. It was, you know, there was many hands on deck creating mm-hmm. each little course. So, and then from there, I got involved in FHA, which was Future Homemakers of America. I think they've kind of changed their acronym now. But anyways, and I started kind of competing in like wedding cake decorating and salad making, of all things. And I won a few.
Those seem like very different sides of the culinary world.
Yes, yes. but I got to, you know, I won a few competitions there. My wedding cake decoration one, I won regionally. I was up against like two other people, so it's not really saying, but no, it's not saying
hey,
that I'm a very good cake
matters.
Decorator.
Right? Every bit matters.
Yeah. But I was very proud of my salad. Anyways, and then from there, I actually, and I learned how to like can food and to cook some other like kind of good home style meals from ladies in my church. That was more in college. In high school, I worked for a restaurant as my first job, and it mm-hmm. wasn't working as a cook or anything like that. It was the janitor, which, boy, mm-hmm. do I have some stories there.
Oh, but, I can imagine.
but I realized, because I thought I'd wanted to own a restaurant because then I could cook everything and, mm-hmm. and, you know, be that type of person, but it just seemed so stressful because I worked for a small mom-and-pop type restaurant, and I just saw mm-hmm. how overtaxed they were. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe let's look at something else to do. And from there, I got into science. And so although I kept cooking, it was kind of on the back burner. I went mm-hmm. and I got my degree in geology and then went and got my master's in it here in New Mexico. And then, so the long story short is, while I was at grad school, I met my husband, and even though we weren't married after grad school, I got a career job in Albuquerque. He was working as an engineer out of southern New Mexico, and mm-hmm. And then once we decided, like, yeah, let's get married, I decided I was done being a geologist, at least for the career portion of it.
Right.
And because I would travel like 4 days out of the week, and
oh, wow.
I was, you know, I wanted to be home. I was going to be married. I wanted to be home and
totally.
Enjoy cooking because I, you know, cook for my husband, you know. so, but that meant I didn't have any job. mm-hmm. So it was great for the first like month, you know, it felt like a awesome vacation. But then I started to get bored, and we actually, for my husband's work, we went out to DC for a couple months mm-hmm. for something he was working on, and I met up with a high school friend who has a fairly successful food blog. And so it's funny, like, we went to high school in California, and then we met up again 10 years later in DC, so the other side of the US, and she's like, you should get into food blogging, and, you know, you were always a good cook, sort of thing. And so that's kind of how it all began. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. It was a process, though, because I had to learn how to write blog posts and to take photos that looked
those are
good.
Important and, for bloggers.
And I'm still I'm still learning so much because you know, you look at like my first blog post and I'm like, "Oh no." That's it looks okay, but you know, already I'm wanting to go back and redo the content a little bit. And but anyway, so I've always loved cooking and I'm getting way more into it now. That's all.
Well, and the whole blog portion, it's funny. I have my own personal blog also. It's not food related, but especially I can imagine when you're trying to start a blog about something that's outside of writing or, you know, anything in that genre, it's like, oh, I need to develop these skills. Like I don't need to be able to write like an entire, you know, news article about every recipe necessarily, but I also don't just want to throw up ingredients and hope people get it. You know, I need to have a format. I need to kind of, you know, beef up in how to do this well.
Yeah, and that's why it was super helpful going to the food blogging conference. It's called Everything Food.
Oh, I can imagine.
Conference. Because they had, like, you know, sessions on, you know, how to write to optimize for Google, how to, you know, they had, you know, how to edit in Lightroom your photos. Like, it was just so helpful. And it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to. Like, I'd been to several geology conferences, and I always, you know, I didn't have a passion for it. And then I went to the food blogging conference. I was like, wow, this is all so fun. So anyways, awesome. Well, if anybody wants to start a food blog, send me an email, and I'll just share with you what I know.
Yeah. There you go. So I know we talked a little bit about how, you know, this started out as an idea to sort of like blend different, you know, entertainment facets, whether it was, you know, movie inspired recipes or something like that. How easy or difficult did you feel like it was once you said, I should do something Hearthstone related? Because I can tell you've got the Hearthstone passion in you, which that's like the foundational level. Like if somebody's just trying to create recipes for something and doesn't really care about it, they're just trying to kind of, you know, whatever. But you play this game every day. You know it. You breathe it.
Yes.
How difficult was it to say, okay, let me bring these two things together and find something that really makes sense and works?
Oh, it was so easy. it was like it clicked, you know? And, you know, I just sat down and I started looking through the cards. And I just kept getting so excited because I'm like, oh, I could do this. And the name actually sounds, you know, like what I'm making, or the card description kind of goes with what I'm doing, you know. And,
oh, wow.
And, you know, obviously you can't do one for every card because, or you could, but it maybe wouldn't flow as well.
I was
going to
say, take you a while.
Yeah. 20 years later. No. Well, especially with all the expansions that come out. But,
yep.
But, no, it just happened so fast. It was such a blessing. And I have to say, like, it just kind of made sense to go this route because, like, in grad school, I just remember, you know, my boyfriend, now husband, he was having a birthday, and it was, like, 3 days before his birthday. I hadn't planned anything. And then I just sat down, and I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. He is a big Lord of the Rings fan. And I just came up with this huge, like, interactive, like, it took 30 people to, like, do this huge scavenger hunt around the town and the college, and
it
happened so fast. It was, like, you know, praise the Lord that it all came together. And people just kept coming, and I made costumes, and it just happened so it just clicked. And that's kind of how making this Hearthstone-inspired menu happened. It was just kind of like I sat down and ideas just started coming. And it's because I love the game and I love being creative. So, you know, it worked out really well.
I think it's a testament. I mean, when I would say this about just about anything, that when you are really excited about something, not just like passionate, like you'd like to see it happen, but I mean, there's just nothing stopping you. It's really hard to not see the creative juices just come as a result of that,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. The things I've found myself most blocked on creatively in my life are things that I really legitimately don't care about. You know, they're things that either I have to do for work or I have to do to, you know, I mentioned budget stuff earlier. I don't enjoy making a budget. And so, like, now I have had some breakthroughs because I have had to get really passionate about it. But the times when I've really just, like, there's nothing coming from me, you know, I feel like it's a result of that. Now, I will also say that things I'm super passionate about, like this podcast, for example, I love getting to create this content, but there's still some times when I hit those roadblocks and don't quite know what to do. How do you work through any of those that have come up when you're like, man, I have not released a recipe this week, or I just don't quite know what to, you know, how to really put a spin on this that's my own or something? Like, what's your process for those kinds of things?
Yeah, well, so at least with the menu, I came up with like ideas for recipes right away, and and I've kind of, you know, said, okay, I'm going to release this recipe on this day. I have it kind of all scheduled out, so at least I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But sometimes recipes just don't work, and I'll recipe test multiple times, like 3 or 4 times. Like for like for example, the Nat Pagels. I don't know how to say his name.
Nat Pagel, yeah.
Pagel, thank you. I see it all the time, but I just don't know how to say it. It's like when you read a book. Anyways.
Right there with you.
But his fresh catch of the day was salmon, and I wanted it to be like those really pretty salmon pictures. You know, like at least I wanted my pictures to be that.
Yeah, and, of course.
But I'll tell you what, like that, I ate so much salmon because it took like 3 or 4 different recipe, like trying and just getting it right. And the end, I realized it was the amount of like how fresh the fish was. And living in New Mexico, we don't exactly have, you know, oceanside fresh seafood.
Right. like zero.
Yeah. I'm still curious how we have some good sushi here, but whatever.
If you do, I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, I know. So anyways, so it's just like, you just kind of come up, against this wall of like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I want to get this recipe out, you know, in 3 days, and it's just completely failed, but you just keep trying and coming at it from different avenues and doing lots of research. Or changing the recipe entirely. I do know for that salmon recipe, I learned so much, and I'm like, these are things that hopefully whoever's going to try this recipe will want to know as well. So it, like that, I just try to lay it out in a good format for reading of like, here's what I learned, and if you don't live near the ocean, here's the type of fish I would recommend, and sure. You know, stuff like that. Or and then like a roadblock. You know, I was supposed to make King Mukla's banana bread, and my recipe failed completely.
Oh, man.
And instead of just trying to keep tweaking it and having a ton of banana bread, I've decided, you know, it's going to be banana ice cream because it's really easy, and I love banana ice cream. And I'll put some caramel in it, and it'll be great. And so that was a recipe where, you know, it's kind of like I probably should have tried to make it way in advance and and have more time. But, you know, it's kind of coming up to the day before posting it. And I'm like, oh, I need to get this out there. And oh, great, it failed. Oh, no. So so if there's roadblocks, you just kind of have to come at it from a different direction and and dig in, like do more research on that topic, but maybe not specifically what you're like trying to do, but just kind of an overall perspective, because then you can go in a different avenue, you know?
And I love what I heard from you that like, this seems like an extreme word to use, but it's like salvaging from the messes something that still works, you know? Like, because I've had to do that before where like, from I have a similar schedule where, you know, I have, you know, these episodes that release on, you know, every Tuesday now. And then I've got Patreon exclusive content every Thursday. I really try to do that. Sometimes it's Friday, but on Thursday I'm trying to get that out. And there are times when like I have a, you know, an idea that I think, man, this will make a really good topic, but I'll record myself and I'm like, man, this just, this did not work. It fell flat. Yeah. But then I'll go back and I'll think through, was there at least a sentence or a concept or something? Like maybe there's a different angle on this that can work. And especially with the exclusive stuff, because that's just basically me talking about what I'm processing in the game or mindset-wise and stuff, where I've had to say, no, let me try it from that angle. And, you know, it's sort of the banana bread to the banana ice cream, mm-hmm. where, like, you know, I know that this works conceptually, but I think that there's a different way to pursue this that's going to be more delicious in the end. And that's, yes. that crosses over right there.
Well said.
No, thank you. But for people who maybe they haven't explored this, because, like, I don't think that you intentionally, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you intentionally thought, I'm going to blend Hearthstone and cooking because I love both of these things and I need to do, you know, it sort of sounds like came a bit out of necessity. It came a bit out of seeing the opportunity and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But as we're talking about this, I know we got a lot of listeners who might say, you know, I'm really passionate about fitness, or I'm passionate about, why is that the only thing that came to mind? Shopping. Maybe I'm passionate about building websites. You know, it could be soup to nuts, but I haven't considered really what might come of thinking about that and that, you know, bringing them together. Is there any sort of, like, any advice you'd give to somebody who's even just thinking about, like, the bare, like, when you were kind of seeing the puzzle pieces fit together, how can you bring those things together?
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely helps to be excited about something. So being mm-hmm. excited about Hearthstone, you know, made it easy. You just have to get out there and start. You mm-hmm. have to, a fellow blogger just recently said, you have to do the best you can with what you have available. And then when you grow,
that's good.
And you get better, you know, better resources, you do the best with what mm-hmm. you have there.
Right.
And so don't wait. And what I've found out, at least in the blogging, you know, community, the people who are doing really well, they've been blogging for like 9 years, which is kind of how long blogging has been around. So it's like being a creative person, it's kind of you play the long game.
Yes.
There are those people who, you know, they seem to get recognition really fast, but mm-hmm. those are the exceptions. And the rest of us are just like, let me just put out what I'm passionate about, but be consistent, mm-hmm. do good quality work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, like if you're into fitness and I don't like blending that with Hearthstone, I don't know. You could do like
Hearthstone
for every
workouts.
Card.
Come on. Yeah. This is a
hell scream.
It could be a thing.
Hell scream workout. Like that sounds horrible, but also exhausting. you know, or if you're into like building websites, you could market just to people who game, you know, like find a niche and then just like go for it. So there's always an avenue. I mean, artists are, you know, they can draw, obviously. If you're into creative writing, oh my gosh, I just love reading like the World of Warcraft books. It's just so much fun. So there's
and that lady who created those, now she works for Blizzard. So she's continuing to do what she does, and she's doing it for them. I don't know her full story, but I know that little minutia of a detail, which is pretty significant.
Yeah. So, I mean, with whatever you're interested in, I mean, like I said, you can always like reach out to me and be like, hey, I crochet Warcraft people. I don't know. I'll be like, that's great. So like you just got to start somewhere and get yourself out there. And learn about the different social platforms, because right now that's how we communicate with, you know, our audience. And there's so much more to it than just, oh, I posted it on Facebook or on Instagram. It's like there's algorithms that you kind of have to play the game, but it's not impossible. And it's exciting once you start getting a few feedbacks. And also, you have to, and I'm learning this right now, you have to have kind of a thick skin, because not only are there trolls, essentially.
Do anything on the internet, they will find you.
Yeah, and it's just like, for every one negative comment, I don't get a lot, but there's always, you know, at least one.
Totally.
And there's like two or three people who comment, and they're just like the best. They just go, oh, I love this recipe, or, you know, something like that. So don't don't get discouraged, even if, like, at first your content's not being received well. And if that's the case, maybe just come at it from a different angle. So have thick skin. And also, don't be afraid to fail, because whether it's a recipe or with any idea, you just have to keep at it and keep trying and perfecting what you're trying to do. And, you know, eventually, hopefully it'll pay off, you know?
Yeah, so. I think the reality is you're always going to learn more from trying than you will from not trying, right? And it's tough to put yourself out there when you know that something is imperfect. And especially when I first started podcasting with my buddies Rob and Eve over at Villains Chosen, we didn't really know what we were doing. I think Rob had some podcasting background, but you know, it hadn't really taken off. So he knew more of the technical side. The three of us certainly didn't know how to have a conversation about Hearthstone, but we loved Hearthstone. And so we said, let's just turn on mics and figure it out. And with time, we kind of figured out, okay, when we talk about this stuff, people really seem to like it. And so can we keep doing that? Can we keep finding our grooves? And, you know, it's an ever-evolving thing. I mean, life never looks the same 5 years from now. I mean, we have no clue where the world's going to be, where our country's going to be, where I am personally going to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, if I keep pursuing excellence with what I do, if I keep doing the best job I know to do, but then give myself the, you know, not the responsibility to become or to be perfect when I have no right to be. You know, I've heard what you said earlier in a different way, which is that too often, especially with social media, we tend to compare our behind the scenes with other people's highlight reels. And and so, like, the people who have been blogging for 9 years, your blog should look worse than them. And it should perform worse than them. The same's true about this podcast. Even though we're the longest running Hearthstone podcast, there are other Hearthstone podcasts that do a better job of like audio perfection because they've been doing it for longer, or they've had better training, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But if we keep our eyes set on, I'm going to keep improving myself, I'm going to keep trying, you know, to do this well, over time you can figure out, okay, is this working or not? But a lot of people really do. They put themselves out there one time, you know, they put one blog post or they try doing one thing and it doesn't work. And they just say, well, never mind, I can't do that, you know, and it, you never find out what could have been. So I'm 1,000,000% in agreement with you about that, that you really do have to find kind of this tender balance of continuing to take an honest self-assessment of where you're at, while not expecting the world on a silver platter the very first time you try to do something, especially if it's never existed before.
Yeah. And at least in the blogging realm, they say that it takes probably like 2 to 4 years to really start going. And a lot of people just stop after the first or second year, and they just, you know, they don't see the results that they want, but it's like, it is a long game. You just gotta keep at it, which I'm saying that now. I'm not even a year in. So Lord willing, I will be here 4 years down the road and, you know, still doing Hearthstone recipes.
But it really is like, at some point you have to address it as the hustle that it is and say, like, either I'm willing to do the work or I'm not willing to do the work.
And, absolutely.
Let me be honest with myself about that. Ask the question why if it's not there, and then determine, okay, if this isn't the thing that I really want to give myself to, what is? And then discover it from there.
I know when I was trying to think of things to do, because, you know, after a couple months of being home unemployed, I just start to get bored. I know that if I want to be any sort of productive, that I have to start having a schedule of some sort. But just throwing around ideas, like I kind of crochet a little bit. And, you know, my husband's like, oh, you could crochet really cool blankets and all this. And like, I thought about it and I kind of tried it, but I just didn't love crocheting, you know? Like, I can make hats, I can make a blanket, but it's not something that I want to sit down and do for hours on end. And so I decided not to pursue that avenue. Like, I could see where it could make, you know, it can make money in the future or something like that, but my heart wasn't in it. So I decided to put a hold on that and look other, you know, elsewhere. Like, do I get a job? I don't know, you know. But thankfully, praise the Lord, this kind of just came together with starting a food blog. And
it's awesome.
So, yeah.
You know, and there's one other part to kind of something that we haven't mentioned that I also think is essential, where you mentioned really early on in this that you kind of test these recipes with your husband, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so a lot of times this kind of, you know, whatever, I don't want to call it content creation, but it is like, because this can take on a lot of different forms, right?
Right.
But doing something that's a passion project, maybe that's the best way to put mm-hmm. it, whether it does become a full-time career or it's something on the side.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's really hard to do as an island where you mm-hmm. just do it and you grind it out and that's it, right? Because you have your husband, he's able to tell you sometimes like, hey, this is not good. Or like, what are yeah. you talking about? I think especially for something as subjective as flavor, which really can kind yeah. of, you know, at least you can take, it doesn't mean that you just cater to whatever he says, but at least it can be right. taken into account and say, maybe there's a different way that we can both enjoy this, or he really is off his rocker, or I'm off my rocker, or something like that. I know that the shows that I create here, being able to have different inputs from different people on this show, it helps so incredibly much to create conversations that can really take on a number of different paths and avenues and stuff. So finding the right community or the right people to kind of invite into things, whether they're intricately involved or I don't know, sort of a consultation thing where it can be a friend. I'm not saying go pay some, you know, guy in Silicon Valley to, you know,
right.
to figure it out. But even a friend, just say, hey, what do you think about this idea? You know, and if they're in the same passion wheelhouse, I think that helps you mm-hmm. out even more, because your husband enjoys the Hearthstone. He can really say, oh yeah, this is great. Or why are you making a Shadow Rager you know, recipe? No one even
exactly.
remembers that card, or you probably do remember that card, but I think the communal aspect really can't be understated also.
Yeah. And I know, like, my husband is, he not only gets to eat all the food and he takes a lot of the desserts to work, which is really nice.
Pretty good gig there.
Yeah. But he's also my quality control. So yeah, if I'm like, oh, let's, what do you think about this recipe? And he's like, that could be better. He doesn't say it that harshly, but it's usually like, I know it could be better, but I'm uh-huh. maybe being lazy. And he just kind of pushes me to say, nope, you need to keep trying. I'm like, okay, because mm-hmm. I know it's true. but yeah, no, so it's definitely, it's good to have his feedback. And as far as like blogging or doing anything where you're putting yourself out there, some advice I got is to pick one person as kind of like who you are writing to or who you are trying to create recipes for, and mm-hmm. and make them specifically for that person. Don't worry about all the you know, people with dietary needs or the, you know, all that, unless that's your target person.
Right.
So I realized I had this epiphany. I'm like, my avatar is my husband. You know, he's a gamer. He can cook, but he's a lot of times doesn't want to because it's just like overly complicated, you know, right, the recipe right. or something like that, or there's not enough information, or, oh, it failed because the recipe forgot to mention X, Y, or Z. And so I'm like, oh, well, that makes it kind of easy. I can just
make it for him.
Yeah, make it for him. And also it helps that he's real and right here and he can test the recipe and say, no, I don't mm-hmm. like it, but
you can really trust his feedback and stuff like
yes,
that
exactly.
too, which is huge.
Yeah, so I just recommend picking one person and
yeah, that's really
them.
Good. And I would say, in addition to that person, you always want to make stuff that you enjoy too, right? Like
absolutely.
And it kind of goes back to passions, but I always ask myself whenever I'm getting ready to record an episode or something, is this something I would want to listen to? Because if the answer is mm-hmm. no, what am I doing? You know, like I think that's what keeps the passion alive. When you continually come back to that, is this a recipe I would get excited about? Is this a workout mm-hmm. routine? I think Hell Screams workouts could actually be a thing.
Right?
I've got my mind stuck on that. But yeah, so I think that that's another thing to kind of take into consideration. You know, I hope that this is stirring something up. And if it's not, that's okay. Like, I think for some of you guys listening, this may be something that's like, yeah, that's great. And maybe there's a day for that. But there are others of you who have been sort of stewing on something, thinking about getting started. And I sort of want to close up our conversation specifically addressing those people. Lisa, is there anything that you would say to really get them off the bench and in the game as far as like pursuing sort of where those things intersect. And it really is an entrepreneurial spirit at the end of the day that gets you to create something that doesn't exist. What would be like your words of wisdom for those people specifically?
Well, and I think I mentioned this earlier, you just got to start. You just got to do it. Mm-hmm. If you're excited about it, somebody else is excited about it and would love to see what you're doing. So just put your stuff out there. Learn kind of the game as far as how to write or how to cook or, you know, whatever you are trying to put out there. I'm sure you already know how to do. And just kind of figure out the best way to get your content to the people, the masses. Right now, mm-hmm. Facebook groups are really big, so I like to put my recipes out to a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just kind of learn where your best audience is, but just start. I mean, you won't regret not starting. And then set goals, like, I'm going to do this once a week or, you know, twice a month, you know, sort of thing. You know, just set a goal so that you are constantly having to create and work on whatever you are trying to create.
That's really great. Well, I hope that is encouraging for some of you. You know, be okay with the imperfection that is the beginning of a project. And, you know, pursuing perfection is not a bad thing, but giving yourself the measure of reality to say, like, you know, I can pursue something that's great and create something good with time. And it's all got to start somewhere. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of do want to breach into our community section because I asked on Twitter about how some of our community has been able to do this, you know, in small ways or in big ways of combining those passions, and got some really great responses. So Forrest Bates mentioned that he loves tracking and spreadsheets. And he's created some spreadsheets that have allowed him to really hone in on his progression in Hearthstone. So I see him do this all the time. I'm sure he wouldn't mind, but on Twitter, he's Forrest Bates, two R's in Forrest. And he will tweet out like his homebrewed spreadsheets that really go in depth with the different matchups he's had and stuff. It's the kind of thing that, like, there are lots of auto programs that will do it imperfectly for you, and those are still really good, but he gets such a high level of accuracy as far as like how he's doing in those things, and it's because he loves making spreadsheets. And my buddy Wicked Good, who's on the show many times, he does this too and has figured out ways to really create tools that have been super helpful for the community. So whether you're doing it for yourself to kind of help you get better, or you're, you know, putting it out there for other people to use, I think I thought that was a really great example of being able to do that. Also saw my buddy Nate Wolf over at Into the Wild mention he's a graphic designer and he uses that skill a lot to make their infographics for their podcast. And you don't mention this on your tweet, Nate, but I know for sure that you've also helped a lot of people with kind of logos and designs in the content creation space. So, and Ben Reddington over at Data Legend does that a lot too. So, so it's really cool to see, you know, you saying, man, I really like making graphics and designs and stuff. And as long as there are, you know, auxiliary things like podcasts and websites and stuff, we're going to need a lot of design talent to help make that stuff as good as it is. So good on you for that, man. And then my buddy Deck Tech, he was actually somebody that I thought about on the outset of sort of forming this episode. He mentioned that he's been pursuing a career at Blizzard for the past 2.5 years, combining his passions for Hearthstone with game design and writing and law. And I've seen this a lot, Deck Tech, where you find these interesting places where like esports and law intersect. And he's written some blog posts that really like go in depth about certain things that are really fascinating. And I have no clue what's going on until I read those posts and realize, oh, this has real huge implications for players or for professional players and stuff like that. So Deck Tech's coming on the show, I think, in the next few months. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more in his episode. But that was really cool to see, too. So whether those are examples that might speak to your heart or maybe they just get your brain thinking about different things that you could do, You know, you have something to offer the community. I don't want to understate that.
Yes.
Whether you have gone all in on a project already or you've never even thought about it before we're talking about this, the community will be better when you find that nice intersection of where your passions lie. And it may not come, for some of you, it may be really easy to think of something. For others, you have no clue where to even start or what you're passionate about. Ask the people who know you best, what do you see me really good at or passionate about outside of Hearthstone? If Hearthstone's all they tell you, then, you know, you may need to find some other interests too. But certainly I would really believe that even if it's tough to find it, that there's something else that you're drawn to or that you're curious about, that if you really, you know, put yourself in that space a bit more firmly, you would find a drive or a talent that may not even exist yet that could really contribute to what the community is able to do and, you know, all of that. So go do it. Go do something. That's like the tagline of this episode, I think. Go do something.
Yes.
Can you get behind that?
Start.
Is that cool?
Absolutely. And that's so exciting. You know, you get all these responses from people who are actually blending more than just food and Hearthstone. They're doing, you know, their esports and law, and like, mm-hmm. there's room for everybody, you know? So it's just awesome. It's exciting. And it's never like, if you put out your content, say after a couple months, send an email to Blizzard and just say, hey, here's what I'm doing. You know, like, what's the next step? Can we work together? Something like that. Like, mm-hmm. Blizzard is so awesome with just giving back to the community, like I've said a million times. So,
right.
Anyways,
And it may not even be the big dogs at Blizzard. It might be like the Happy Hearthstone podcast or
exactly.
A Table of Joy or yes. Someone else in the community who's doing something similar, or maybe it's parallel. Maybe, you know, I was excited not because I have a food demographic on this podcast, but because we're kind of doing similar things and I thought I could have a really full conversation about,
absolutely.
You know, what that looks like. So sometimes something even new can come from just finding somebody who's also passionate similarly and finding something even, you know, new there.
Yes. Yep.
So go do something, people. Come on.
And share it with us.
And share it with the world. Come yes. on. It's ready to go. Speaking of doing something, Lisa, there's something we love to do on this show, which is talk about a card. Mm-hmm. And in order to get there, though, we like to kind of give it a little melodic introduction. And so I know that you told me from the beginning that you were thrilled about this part of the show. So,
yeah. Sorry about my voice. I'm not
You're
known for singing.
You're in good company with good friends who just want to have some fun. So why right. don't you bring us in and let us do this thing?
Yeah. So a little preface though. I'm not sure. very creative with rhyming or, you know, sort of songs. So That's when I was told I needed to come up with a song about mm-hmm. a card, like first it was picking a card. And I was brainstorming with my husband, and we both settled on C'Thun. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that ahead of time, but
that's okay.
But we both really love the card. So, but my husband is also extremely creative, and so all the credit goes to him for this. I hope that's okay.
That's
it's
totally
his,
fair.
It's his writing, and it's pretty awesome, I have to say. All right, so an old god now imprisoned, sleeping and dreaming, his servants of evil now creeping and teeming, disciples, insectoids, and cultists unite to awaken their master and increase his might. He looks like Lord Sauron with his enormous eyeball, and twilight elders gather, saying, "Do you hear its call?" Drawing life from his acolytes whenever others are healed. He protects all his chosen who cry, "C'Thun is my shield." Beware of his servants like the Emperor twins. And when his dream ends, your nightmare begins.
That was so good. Oh,
I thought
goodness.
So. Yeah, he's amazing. So
you covered the entire spectrum of wow. I don't
Right?
I don't even know where to go with that. That was incredible. Why don't you tell us, just in case we don't know, what C'Thun is?
So C'Thun is a 10-mana, 6/6 neutral legendary. His battle cry is deal damage equal to this minion's attack, randomly split among all enemies. Which, being a 6/6, you might think that's not very good, but there are so many cards that you use to buff him. So by the time he comes out, hopefully he's well over 10, well over 15, you know, in attack.
Right,
so.
Right. Especially if you find the crazy ways to, like, take advantage of things, like with Bran Bronzebeard and stuff like that. You can spiral him out of control pretty fast.
Yeah, or returning him to your hand and then playing him again. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Now, C'Thun was part of the Whispers of the Old God expansion. Does this signify to me that you're more of a wild than a standard player? Is that
No. No, because of coming up with this card, I was like, man, I really miss playing that. So I tried crafting one in wild and failed horribly every time I played the card.
Oh, no.
Or the game. I don't think I even drew him the several times I played it. So
that's a bummer.
I know, right? I think I would have won, too, but... That's always how it goes. Anyways, so it would need a lot more tweaking in Wild, but has there been any other card that was so specific to gameplay like C'Thun? I mean, I just feel like so many cards were made specifically for him. Whatever it is, the old god.
I think it is probably the most accurate.
And like, it was just so much fun because it felt like you had a little bit more control over what you played because it had to be X, Y, or Z, you know?
Yeah. I don't think there's been another card that got so much support specifically around it where, you know, building a C'Thun deck, you know, you could make arguments for like the quest cards sort of, or the Death Knights maybe, but even those, I don't think there's like a specific thing that buffs it up, you know, like C'Thun does. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no clue how he identifies as an old god, but he is a god. So,
yes.
But I do think that there was so much fun to be had, especially like, you know, when they announced it, everyone was really excited. And even like at the very tail end of him rotating exclusively into wild, there were a lot of C'Thun decks coming out of the woodworks there at the end too, where people were like, oh, I missed this, you know? So I definitely resonate with what you say. And actually I was talking, I think it was with Forrest that I mentioned earlier, that now there's this card called Shudderwalk that reengages all the battle cries that have happened. So you can make a wild C'Thun Shudderwalk deck.
That's true.
That just does insane things. I think even if you haven't ventured into wild, C'Thun is going to continue to be interesting as long as there are cards that can augment things. Even just Murmuring Elemental, which allows you to the next battle cry will trigger twice. Doing that alone with C'Thun is pretty crazy. So, and I guess you'd have to do some mana reduction, but you've got Emperor Thorsen in the wild realm also. So, lots of cool things to be able to take advantage of him in different ways.
So I put out my Shudderwalk salad, which was a cucumber avocado salad, which is super good. But somebody commented, and it was hilarious. Just a side note off of C'Thun. They're like, so why is it Shudderwalk? Do you keep tossing and remixing the ingredients over and over until your guests leave? Do you scream, my jaws that bite, my claws that catch? And I thought that was so good. Like, no,
that's clever.
I thought it's because you would want to make it over and over again, but I kind of like his response better.
I think they're both good. I think you do have an opportunity there for an infinite animated GIF loop that just continually tosses the salad, maybe. That one's free, but I don't know. It's fun how much creative stuff there is to even think about those kinds of things. But man, revisiting the old gods seems like a lot of fun, and I've really been drawn to wild lately, so I think I think I might have to do that after we're done,
Cool. Yeah, let me know how it goes.
I definitely will. Is there a C'Thun recipe coming in the near future, I have to ask also?
You know, I don't have one, and after we picked the card, I was telling my husband, like, good grief, it's our favorite card, but what would I make, squid or octopus? Like, I don't really want to.
Maybe with all the eyeballs or something, you could do like grapes, a grape bowl or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. The eyeballs of C'Thun. That doesn't even sound delicious. So
that's That's also been a, you know, like coming up with the names for the cards or something. It's like we want to make sure it sounds appetizing as well as looks appetizing, because like there is some card where there's like a zombie type looking thing and their ribs are showing. I was like, maybe I could do a rib recipe, but I don't really want to call it whatever that card was called.
Zombie ribs.
Yeah. It's like
maybe during the October time frame.
There might be
a better bend, because people look for, you know, weird stuff to entertain
exactly.
guests.
Exactly. Yes.
I don't know. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll see the C'Thun-inspired recipe one day. We'll have to stay in touch. Well, hey, as we wrap up the episode here, I just want to remind you, as always, that you are the happy Hearthstone. The reality is that without you, there is no podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening. If this is your first time or you've come a couple times, I'm just so thankful to have you here and as a part of the community. So keep coming back. New episodes are every Tuesday. And actually, I forgot to put this in the show notes. I'll be sure to put it on the website. But we actually just launched the Happy Hearthstone in Spotify now. So you got a new way of listening to it. If, you know, Spotify's your jam, I know I've listened to some podcasts on there, and it's just convenient to have all my audio listening in one place. So if you like that, you can search for the Happy Hearthstone or Hearthstone Podcast, and it'll pop up there. Or the links will be in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. But also, you know, we didn't have any iTunes reviews again this week, and so I want to remind you just how big of an impact that can make for this show to continue to grow and just, you know, help people to find the content that you enjoy. Going over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and leaving a review, telling people what you think about it, can help immensely, and I'd love to read those reviews on the show. So go and do that if you haven't this week. And of course, thank you again to all of the patrons who make this show happen, who allow me to give you even more back. The next goal that we have is to be able to live stream these episodes when I record them, which would be amazing. I'd love to have some interactive elements. We've had a little bit of that with reaching out on Twitter, but it would take it to a new level with Twitch for sure. So go check it out and see the exclusive perks that you can get on there, and just join the awesome team that makes it happen. The awesome team being led, firmly by the producers of this show, who are Risen, Jordan L., and Red Knight. Thank you three so much for giving at the highest level and for giving your heart also, truly. I feel the happiness exuding every time from you three. So thank you guys immensely for being a part of making this show happen every week. And as always, I'd love to hear what you thought of this show, what you'd like to see in the future, especially if there's a passion that came out of it. You better not hold that to yourself. Let me know. Shoot me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com or tweet at @AndrewIsLiving. And you can find links to all the other stuff, like our great Google Plus community, my Twitch, the YouTube channel, and stuff like that over at thehappyhearthstone.com. Lisa, I know that we've got some listeners who are probably more hungry than they're willing to admit, and they're not just physically hungry, they're also hungry to try out some of these recipes and stuff. So how can they stay connected, see the great stuff that you've got, and see the stuff that you create in the future?
Yes, so my URL for my website is atablefulofjoy.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those platforms. If you look up A Table Full of Joy, Twitter, my Twitter name is @table_joy. Email me at atablefulofjoy@gmail.com. And I also want to give a shout out to the Hearthstone group, Hearthstone, the community. It has been so fun, and they put on tons of contests. And I recently, they had a cooking contest, so it was fun to enter.
Nice.
And I felt kind of like it was unfair, because, you know, I do this for, like, anyways.
That's probably true, but whatever.
But it was a blast, and so check them out as well. And then, fun thing, I'm doing a card pack giveaway on my blog right now.
What?
So go there. You're going to go to the Hearthstone menu. There's links all over the blog, you know, there's banners, it's in the header, like, it's everywhere. You won't be able to miss it. It's mentioned in every blog post that has to do with Hearthstone.
Sure.
So you scroll down to the bottom of the Hearthstone menu, there's like a little rafflecopter giveaway, like instructions. You can enter multiple times every day, and the giveaway actually ends on Saturday, so Saturday midnight on the 7th of July. So go enter. You could win 7 card packs from any one expansion, and I hope you guys enjoy that. I do also plan on doing more giveaways in the future, so make sure to like check in at A Table Full of Joy or follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, because I also tell everybody about it there. So
you get the word out. There's no question. We just need to take the one bit of a step forward and actually connect. So definitely go do that. I mean, we all want more packs. There's no, right. It is an insatiable itch of every Hearthstone player. We can always have more packs. So go check her great stuff out and definitely enter that contest too. Lisa, I'm so thankful that we got to do this. So I'm honored to have you on the show, to have you as a friend, and I can't wait to try out these recipes with my wife and tell you which one's my favorite, because we've got the whole vacation that we're on right now, but when we get back, we're going to get some serious kitchening done with some serious ingredients. So thanks so much for being on here, for sharing your passions and being a part of the community.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. And I can't wait to see what everybody else has to create.
Likewise. And thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye.